In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. So great to be here with you today. Very excited today. Have an amazing guest on who I just saw actually just a couple of days ago. Father Chris Alar, the superior for the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments, God's Grace Guaranteed. He is our special guest today on Beacon of Truth. And would love to hear from you today. If you have any questions about the sacraments, Father Alar will be happy to answer and to talk about his awesome book. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also send us an email, beacon@EWTN.com as well. I'm still coming off the excitement from my overseas tour. You know, I mentioned yesterday that when I came back from the tour, I went immediately to Guadalupe Radio Network's 25th anniversary celebration, where I saw Father Chris Alar, who's our guest today, and as well as Monsignor Pope. And I just want to mention a couple of my other stops. So the first stop was to Sydney, Australia, where I actually was there for business meetings. My distributor is out of Australia, out of Sydney, Charbel Race, who's actually, his company, Prusa Media, is the EWTN affiliate for Australia. So very excited to be there. Had some meetings, and we have a big project, which I'm going to announce later on, a couple of months from now, a really major project to promote marriage and family life, which we're going to be debuting here very shortly. So we went had a meeting about that project. And since I was there, they set up two speaking engagements for me. One of them was for high school students. We talked about, being inspired as a young person by looking at how God used young people in the Bible. So, obviously David, the prophet Samuel, David, Solomon, the Blessed Virgin Mary were all teenagers when God called them to do incredible things with their lives. And I told them that, we say things like, you are the future of the church. Well, no, they're not the future of the church. Our young people, they're the church now. Yes, they're the future priests or the future physicians or the future teachers or the future nuns and religious, but that's their future vocation in the life of the church, whatever state in life they're called to be. But as far as saying, they right now as individual persons, they definitely are the church right now. And I told them we need their passion, their enthusiasm, their optimism, their vitality in the life of the church, probably now more than ever. And so I gave them a talk, and it was packed. Lots of them came out. Was very well received. I was very happy. Then the next night, I spoke to young adults in the Chaldean Catholic community. So the Chaldean Catholics are from Iraq, and it was a beautiful time with them. I had spoken at that church before. I think before the pandemic, I had spoken at that parish, and so I was back to speak to young adults, and it was awesome. Again, wonderful turnout. Lots of great questions, a lot of great, feedback from the young adults there. And I just love the Eastern Rite Catholics, just passion and on fire and in love. It was such a wonderful, wonderful experience. And then the next day, Charbel and I flew to Papua New Guinea, and I'll talk about that experience over the next couple of days as well. So again, my special, very special guest today, Father Chris Alar, about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments. And the subtitle is God's Grace Guaranteed. Can't wait to dive into that again. Would love to hear from you today. If you have any questions about the sacraments, you know, this is your time to ask. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And who's also with us today is the amazing crew that brings you this show every day. I'm talking about Vanessa Sanchez, who will be screening your calls today, Michael McCall doing social media, and the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good. That was very light. Ace. It was just the chill in the afternoon. So to give you an update, my son and I attended the Toto Minute Work Christopher Cross show last night, and it was amazing. Like, all the sounds, all the things. But for him, like, he was chilled the whole time. You ever been out, been like hung out with your teens when they were teens, and like, they really like him, what we're doing. I'm not really getting the vibe, but I don't want to ask. I just, you know, let it be. And then he was talkative all the way home. All the things he liked about it, just wouldn't stop. And so I was like, okay, good. Like, you know, you want it to be, you don't want him to feel like he's like, oh gosh, when are we going to go home? You know, like, but that was the vibe I was getting. But he totally dug it. And all the bands sounded as good as they ever did. So.
Really? So, yeah. I love Toto. Thanks for sending me that clip.
Yeah.
I mean,
the guitar solo,
song,
I could
man.
Not, you know, I was like, it's spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. How long do each of them play?
Well, I mean,
because there's three, so I can't do like
Minute
like
Work was probably about a half hour. Christopher Cross was maybe about the same, and then the rest of it was all Toto, and they did full set. And me being the geek, like, I wanted to know what was coming up next, so I went to the Tampa show, which was the night before, found the set list online, and so I'm watching which song. So when it's getting to the songs that I really was looking forward to,
yeah,
and so that was great. And It was fun. So the crowd was great. The weather, you know, played itself out. So, you know, just a great live outdoor concert with people that are singing and all the memories attached. Ironically, I was impressed with the number of teenagers that were there in general, because I'm like, do you really know this? Because I'm one of those guys, like, if you're wearing a shirt of a band that was not your generation, I'm going to call you out. Like, name five songs or tell me the lead singer or, you know. If it's, you know, a really big band, I'll be like, name the drummer and the bass player now. You know, like, I'm that guy, to which my children love when I do that. But yeah, so I was like, all right, so maybe, you know, music is finally bringing us together rather than it being a divider.
Yeah, so, can't hold you, won't hold you back. I love that song.
One of our playlist editions. So yes, we've talked about that song.
That's right. Yep. So Men at Work, I'm sure they played Who Can It Be Now,
of course,
the typical U.S. hits.
And they sounded flawless. It was the original lineup. So with flutes and saxes and all the, you know, Australian metaphors, it was fantastic.
Yep, yep. And Christopher Cross, you know, he's a pretty good guitarist.
He blew me away, honestly.
Which I didn't know. I mean, I saw him on Rick Beato.
Yep.
And I was like, wait, Christopher Cross, you know? And yeah, he's actually a really good musician.
Yeah, and his drummer was a guy from France, a jazz drummer, and man, was he good. I was like, like jaw-dropping. I had some drummer friends of mine that were like several rows in front of us, but we were texting during the show, and he was like, are you seeing this? I'm like, yes, I'm seeing this. I'm hanging up the drumsticks, man. This guy's got it.
But oh, that's awesome.
It was so good.
That. And of course, Toto, you know, played all their usual hits.
Sure.
Africa and all that. Yeah. Awesome, man. You know, Steve Lukather, the guitar player, played, you know, he played all the guitar parts on Beat It.
Yep.
By Michael Jackson. Yeah. The solo was Eddie Van Halen, but all the rest of the guitar parts were him.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that. They thought the whole thing was Eddie or something.
And that's what's interesting. There's a cool documentary, because a lot of those bands are now subtitled as Yacht Rock. And so what's interesting about that is a lot of those bands, as they were obviously they weren't creating the Yacht Rock sound. That's just what it's been called now. But so Steely Dan and Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross and, you know, and Toto and all of these bands, Boss Skaggs, like all of them were all using the same musicians. So the reason we like all of those records and songs in that genre is because it was all the same stuff, just like Motown. It was all the same musicians. You know, you had all these session guys that were just sitting around all day getting paid to play music. Yeah. So
I was
like,
listening to Dirty Lowdown by Boss Skaggs on my walk today. I love that that
hi-hat.
That's that pre-chorus section in there. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. See, and I'm not surprised at young people. We've said this many times, Ace, that that era of music when we were growing up is like, I think that's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, and even my kids and this younger generation are listening to the stuff that we used to listen to because that's the best stuff.
Yeah.
Real musicians playing real music, great feel. You know, not just the produce, you know, stuff or AI stuff or just cookie cutter stuff that you're hearing. Though nothing against Taylor Swift, but you know, kind of formulaic pop.
Sure.
You know, stuff. You know, so.
Yeah, it definitely, and I love the fact, at least I can speak for my kids, I can't speak for everyone's, they're finding it on their own. Like, I'm not coming in and going, oh, you got to listen to this.
Yeah,
like, I'm surprised when they're singing along to one of my songs.
Yeah. We just want to mention real quickly the passing of Ozzy Osbourne, you know, pray for the repose of his soul.
Yeah.
Father Chris Alar is our guest today, Understanding the Sacraments, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Woo! Speaking of guitars.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that technique. It's like you play one note and hammer like there. I mean, it sounds like he's kind of playing note front, but he's actually not.
Yeah.
He's doing some hammer on stuff. Very cool technique. I love that chunky, that kind of blue, kind of chunky sound with the rhythm guitar behind it.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's awesome.
Makes him on a groove.
Oh, yeah. Perfect song to kick off today.
That's right.
Love that, man. How awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest with us, Father Chris Alar, for the Superiors of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. Of course, an EW10 regular as well. His very, very popular show on Divine Mercy. We're talking about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments, God's Grace Guaranteed. That's what we're talking about. If you have a question about the sacraments, Father Chris is here to answer your questions. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget, while you're online today, you can, of course, sign up for Catholic News Agency's email. It gives you a chance to not only get the perspective of faith into what's happening socially, politically, culturally, but also how to deepen your walk with God and find out more about the Catholic Church. Simply sign up today when you go to EWTN.com and click subscribe.
My friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we take one of the psalms from the Sefer Telechim, or the Book of Sung Praises, from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we apply that psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today, we're going to continue our look at Psalm 109. 109 is in Book 5 of the Psalms, which is 107 to 150. And this one's written by David. David is the only author of the Psalms that has Psalms in all five books of the Psalms. This particular Psalm is Psalm 109. This is one of the what's called imprecatory or quote-unquote cursing Psalms. So that, in fact, the three Psalms, 58, 83, and 109, are not even included in the breviary. That's right. In the 4-week cycle of the Liturgy of the Hours, these psalms are not included at all because of the imprecatory nature of the psalms. But we used to pray them in the monastery, and I pray them as well. You know, so we're going to take a look. In fact, we're going to look at a couple of verses today, which actually are referred to in the New Testament. All right. So the first verse. It simply says, Lemenzeach HaDavid Mizmor. In English, that's for the choir master of David, a psalm. And so we're going to go to we're going to jump to verse 6 here. All right. So to set the context here, David starts off, O God, whom I praise, do not be silent, for the mouths and deceit of wickedness are open against me. So once again, this is typical David. He's going under some kind of persecution. You know, those are deceitful and wicked people are after him or speaking against him. And so now this is where the quote unquote cursing comes. No bad language or anything, but this is this section here is why it's not included in the breviary. Verse 6, appoint someone wicked over him. Again, someone wicked over the person that's persecuting him. Let an accuser stand at his right. When he is judged, let him come out condemned. Let his prayer be considered as sin. Ooh, pretty rough. Now, here's the New Testament connection. Let the days of his life be few. Let another assume his office. Right? Now, remember, in Acts of the Apostles, after Judas committed suicide, this verse, this psalm, Psalm 109, verse 8, is actually quoted, you know, when they were picking Matthias. Because remember, it says there in Acts of the Apostles, let another take his office. This is where it comes from this psalm, which is, again, one of the cursing psalms, which is not included. But, I mean, this is pretty vicious, right? Let the days of his life be few. Let another assume his office. Let his children be fatherless orphans and his wife become a widow. Ouch, David. You know, David is, again, David sounds angry here, but really he's in a very, you know, very kind of pointed way is praying to God for justice against the people that are wrongly accusing him, you know, but he's just laying it out. Again, very human to express, you know, this kind of anger. It almost sounds a little bit vitriolic, but again, this is included in scriptures, the inspired word of God. So I don't think we should shy away from it. But the way to look at verses like this are not so much the imprecatory nature, but what we want God to do against sin, against the forces of evil, right? Against Satan and the demons, right? These are the kinds of things we have to think about it through his Christological lens, right? Through how we see these psalms being fulfilled in Christ. So if we think about God working over the power of sin, then, you know, the psalm doesn't come off as bad. So hopefully when they're working on a new breviary, a new revision of the Liturgy of the Hours, hopefully they'll reinstitute these imprecatory psalms back into the Psalter. All right. Now it's time to introduce our very special guest today, Father Chris Aylar. He entered the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, the religious community that's entrusted with spreading the message of devotion to divine mercy. In fact, when I met Father Aylar, he was Brother Chris Aylar at that when I first met him at the Fullness of Truth Conference in San Antonio, Texas. The main speaker that year was Father Calloway, and Brother Chris Aylar, our tables were next to each other. So I got a chance to meet him and talk to him. He was basically just standing back there representing the Marians at their booth. And I was just happened to be set up next to him, and that's how we got to know each other. He is now the superior of that community, right? how funny is that? But he received his Bachelor in Science in Industrial Engineering and an MBA from the University of Michigan. So obviously he's incredibly intelligent. University of Michigan is no joke. Academic, especially when it comes to engineering, and he got his MBA from there as well. And he worked in a secular world for a while, but then after he received God's call to the priesthood, he attended Franciscan University of Steubenville for philosophy and the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. for his theology studies, earning an MDiv, a Master in Divinity, from Holy Apostles Seminary in Cromwell, Connecticut, and was ordained to the priesthood in 2014. His very popular show, Divine Mercy 101, and Explaining the Faith series on YouTube are watched by literally millions of people. He's also the author of an incredible works, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and for You, Understanding Divine Mercy as well. He's the host of EW10's Living Divine Mercy, very popular show on the network, which airs Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern and is now, I think, is his fourth or fifth season. As I mentioned, he is now the superior of the provincial superior of the of the MICs, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and which also includes, besides the United States, Argentina as well. Father Aylar, welcome to Beacon of Truth. So glad to have you on.
God bless you, Deacon Harold, for getting through that. I promise you, I did not write that. So.
Well, people need to know. I mean, I have a long form bio too, right? And I usually, I'm not going to do this for the whole show, but just so people just have a little background. I mean, they see you on the network, but they may not know a whole lot about you. So it's good to introduce them to you.
No, thank you. It's appreciative. And you're like an honorary member of the Marians. We love you over here.
So. Oh, well, thank you. It was great hanging out with you the other day. And it was great praying the rosary with you as on our way to the airport as well. That was a beautiful, blessed time.
No, that's great. You're an inspiration. You look great. And you've always carried the banner of the faith. And when I saw you, I was like, oh, you look great. You've really gotten into good shape. And God's going to use you, continue to use you.
Yeah, well, thank you. So that's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. And you gave a fantastic homily and then a great talk prior to adoration. And so, it's wonderful. So just before we're going to dive into the book here, but just quickly for the people maybe are listening or maybe hearing you for the first time, tell us about the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, about that religious order.
Yeah, we're the first men's community in the world to bear the title, the Immaculate Conception. And really, that is the key to everything. I thought I joined the Marians for divine mercy, which in a way, it all goes to divine mercy. It all comes from that. But I'm really realizing Immaculate Conception is the key because she's a living example of God's mercy. And so our community is well known for its orthodoxy and its faithfulness to the teaching of the church. You'll never, ever hear a Marian priest say abortion is okay, marriage can be redefined, churches should be closed. And you'll never hear that. And now our vocations are booming. We got 30 men studying to become Marian priests. We're building a brand new monastery right here next to the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge. And so God is using us for whatever reason. He's using us. And we love working with people and other communities and people like yourself that are also true and faithful to orthodoxy of the Catholic faith.
Oh, wonderful. And you're still using right there in Steubenville for the philosophy formation and the Dominican House of Studies? You're still using both?
Yeah, we've got our guys doing philosophy at Franciscan University where I went. Excellent school for philosophy. Most of our existing priests went to Dominican House in Washington, as I did, for our theology. But now we have been studying and doing due diligence like crazy since the beginning of this year. And we've decided, took a huge leap of faith. We're going to be sending all our guys all the way to California to St. Patrick's in Menlo Park under Bishop Cordiglione. He's a friend of our community. They got excellent bishops sending their guys there, Bishop Daly and others who are sending their guys there, Bishop Sample. And these guys are great. And I tell you, that's a spot in the country that definitely needs a good influence of our Catholic faith. But the formation that we're going to be getting there is outstanding. So we're very much looking forward to being in California and getting a Marian presence on the West Coast.
All right. Beautiful. All right. We're talking with Father Chris Aylar today. We're going to be diving into his brand new book, Understanding the Sacraments. Would love to hear from you. If you have any questions about the sacraments or even about divine mercy, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, we got a voicemail yesterday. You know, I was talking about how the song that you played yesterday sounded like Eric Johnson.
Yeah.
And the person respectfully disagreed with me. He said it sounded like Joe Satriani. I was like, oh.
And that's the beautiful thing. They all pull influence from one another, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus, we could go on a tirade if we started talking about every influence that was.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like, you know what it really sounds like?
Yeah. I was talking about the song. I mean, the tone, the guitar tone itself,
sure,
to me sounded like Eric Johnson. Yeah. Not necessarily the song.
My biggest pet peeve is people arguing over who was the better singer, band, bass player, drum. Like, hush, just stop. Let's just listen to the music. Get over ourselves.
I agree with Deacon Harold. There was a different music beauty and genre back in the '80s. You know, they're still playing it on the radio. You hear more 80s songs on the radio today than you hear current modern day music.
It's true.
I can't tell you one top 10 hit right now, but back in the 80s, I knew every one of the top 100.
Yep. Yeah, see, exactly. Exactly. Love that. All right, I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Seriously, listening to Beacon of Truth, and we have a very special guest on today, Father Chris Alar. He's going to talk to us about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments. If you have a question about the sacraments, or even about divine mercy, but mostly about the sacraments, because we want to dive into this book, Understanding the Sacraments. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget you can join us as we get together for prayer and devotion of St. Faustina with the Chapel of Divine Mercy each and every weekday morning. It's at 5 Eastern, so set your alarm and wake up with EWTN Radio and check us out with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy right here with EWTN.
All right, Father Chris Alar is our special guest today on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments. Father Alar is the superior of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, the religious community entrusted with spreading the message and devotion to Divine Mercy. He's also the host of EWTN's Living Divine Mercy, which airs Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. All right, so Father Alar, there's tons of books out about the sacraments. I know because I have over 5,000 in my office, and a number of them are on the sacraments, introduction to the sacraments, theology of the sacraments. So why another book about the sacraments, kind of an overview of the sacraments?
Yeah, I never planned on writing this book. And there are already so many out there, but you know, Deacon, like you, we're travelers, and I became, over the last 11 years, traveling as a priest, and even before that, as a deacon and brother, I was amazed when we would go to different parishes around the country that I would look into their RCIA programs, and I would see what they were, and it just, the sacrament teaching was so shallow, boring. There was nothing that was practical, like, why do I want to be confirmed? It just says, well, okay, confirmation, you do this at this age, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, yeah, that's true. But let's hear what really, in a practical sense, why it matters. And so I started really thinking, this is things that we just don't hear, like confession. Where is it in the Bible? Baptism, no RCIA programs that I found really got into why we baptize infants and how to address Protestant attacks on why we baptize babies. Marriage and what makes your marriage valid, and what do you do if your marriage is invalid? Because it's all it's doing is preparing you through all these basics that were, I would say, okay, but not compelling. And so when I wrote this book, I really realized there was a gigantic hole in the catechesis over the last 40 years, going back to the 1980s, really. And since then, there's been a lack of good, solid teaching and catechesis on the most important issue of our lives, and that is God's grace. There's only one way we're getting to heaven. That's God's grace. That's it. And there's only one place grace is guaranteed, and that's in the sacraments. So we have to know why, and then we have to go get them.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I'm so grateful that you wrote this book. It is fantastic. I mean, I believe every OCIA, Adult Faith Formation, program in the parishes around the country, around the world, should be using this book. I mean, this, when I was looking at, I was reading through it. I mean, I have a copy of it right here, and I was thinking, man, I wish I would have known that. Or, I mean, stuff that's not even taught in school. Yeah. Catholic schools don't even get the stuff that you're talking about in here. And this is just so well done, so clear, you know, and so accessible. That's what I love about it. Because a lot of books that I have on the sacraments are more theological or deeper, which is fine for me. But someone that just wants just the basics and just to know and just to really engage more with their faith through the life of the sacraments, this book is perfect for them. Yeah. So thank you so much.
And that's and that's the key, Deacon, because a lot of people don't understand how to answer these types of questions. You know, there's 45,000 different Christian religions now. So what makes us different? Why are we different? We're the only one with formalized sacraments. Now, the Orthodox have valid sacraments, but as you know, they're not under the papacy anymore. But the Catholic Church is the only one with formalized, who has formalized the sacraments as guaranteed grace. And, you know, I like to think of it this way, Deacon. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the passage in the Bible about the laborers in the vineyard who only worked an hour? Matthew 20, you know your scriptures well. I think it's Matthew 20. And all those, I think of it that way. Those without the sacraments are like those who labored all day long. You know, they can still get grace, but boy, it's a lot of work. It seems unfair that both groups got paid the same wages and we get eternal life because all we need to do is come to the sacraments. It's this extra sacramental help, this beautiful grace. And it's almost like God saying, you know, is it not lawful for me to do that I wish with my own money? And what's grace? What is God's money? Grace. And so, you know, others aren't being cheated. It's just that he gave something special to the Catholic Church in the sacraments. And they're not just symbols. They do something. They're actual grace. They're not symbols of grace. They're the cause of grace. And this is why they're so important.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and our very special guest today is Father Chris Ahlar, the Provincial Superior of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, the order that promotes divine mercy. We're talking about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments. Would love to hear from you. If you have any questions about the sacraments, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. David is a first-time caller calling from Ohio, and he's watching on YouTube. And he has a question about the Sacrament of Holy Orders. David, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
How you doing, Deacon? You can call me Dewey.
Dewey, okay, Dewey, great to hear from you.
Yeah, I have a question for Father Chris. I've been trying to get a hold of him, but, you know, like, can women become priests or deacons, or will we eventually see that? Do you think that that'll happen eventually?
Well, actually, there's confusion, and thank you for the good question, because while it can be changed in church discipline that priests can marry, that could be a change in the future, because if it's discipline that married men can become priests. I shouldn't say priests can marry, but married men can become priests. It could never be that anybody but a man can be ordained to the priesthood. Now, the obvious reason is because the priest is in persona Christi at the altar. Therefore, he is in the acting in the person of Christ, and Christ was a man. But you know, it goes deeper. From the altar comes life-giving seed. That life-giving seed that comes from the altar is like in the marital act. It's the man who provides the life-giving seed, and it's received by the feminine. And then she takes it in, she nurtures it, and gives birth to life. What happens is the Mass is a nuptial relationship. It's a symbol of Christ the groom wedding his church, but here his bride, the church. But here's the thing that's fascinating to me. Many people don't realize why you call priests father. Well, first of all, the Bible says, call no man your father. Well, Jesus called Father Abraham father. So it wasn't that to call no man father. He meant nobody else's Abba, the true creator father. But priests participate in the fatherhood of God. They are not replacing. Jesus meant do not replace the fatherhood of God. But from the altar comes the life-giving seed. And who gives life-giving seed is a man. And then it's received by the feminine, who is the church. That's why we call the church Mother Church. She takes it in. The congregation is Mother Church, and she goes out, gives birth to life. So once life is given or born, what do you call the man? Father. And what do you call the woman? Mother. And so how beautiful is it that man is called father, because from him came life-giving seed, the Eucharist, from the altar, which gave life, and now he is father. And that only comes from a man. Two women cannot produce that. That is sterile. Two men cannot produce that. It is sterile. So you need the life-giving seed from the man. You need the feminine Mother Church to receive it, to take it in, and to go out and give birth to life. So, great question, but John Paul II said that the church does not have the authority to ordain women because Christ established the priesthood as he did. So, thank you for the question.
Yeah, and also quickly, Dewey, with regard to deacons, Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And in the Old Testament, the priesthood was exercised by the tribe of Levi. You know, it was a Melchizedekian priesthood, which was familial. So you had the grandfather was was the high priest. The father was the priest, and the sons were the ones who served. They weren't the high priest or the priest, but they served them. After the incident with the golden calf at Mount Sinai, the Levites took over, and they have the high priest, the priest, and the Levites who were the deacons. So Jesus established that same hierarchy in the New Testament, the bishops, the priests, and then the deacons. And so the institution of the diaconate, according to a great presentation by Deacon Dominic Serrato, actually, who's a PhD, he says when Jesus washed the feet of the apostles in John's gospel, not the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but in John's gospel, where he washes the feet, he's instituting the diaconate because he's giving the model, because diakonia in Greek means servant. He gives the model of how they're supposed to serve the church. And to assist them in that servant ministry, the deacons were established, see Acts chapter 6, with the laying on of hands, the first seven deacons, including Stephen, who was the first martyr, the proto-martyr for the church. And for the other reasons that Father Alar said as well. So I hope that's very helpful to you, David. We're talking with Father Chris Alar today about his awesome new book, Understanding the Sacraments, on Beacon of Truth today. If you have any questions about the sacraments, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Rose on YouTube had a question which just was answered by Father Alar. If Mary Magdalene was known as an apostle of the apostles, why can't women become priests? Which Father Alar just answered. And then we have another person on YouTube, Lisa. Is it possible for a child who is mentally disabled to be confirmed when they are not able to acknowledge what is going on? And is being confirmed in Christ a real thing? That's by Lisa. So Father Alar?
Yeah, in fact, confirmation is probably the most misunderstood of the seven sacraments. It really is a completion or a fulfillment of baptism. This is something that people don't really understand, because in the gift of baptism, we receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, but in confirmation, those seven gifts are activated, and then they are bearing fruit in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or excuse me, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so this is activating the Holy Spirit. So yes, a person who has even mental disability or mental handicap can still be confirmed because it's the Holy Spirit acting in them. It is an ability for somebody to receive and activate those gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we know that the gifts given at baptism are activated at confirmation, allows you to go out and bear fruit. And, you know, I've met a lot of special needs children, handicapped people, who have bared more fruit than some good Catholics that I know, just by their witness, their example, and the way that they carry themselves as humble and trusting souls of God. They completely are dependent. They know that they rely on God for everything. And so absolutely the Holy Spirit can work in them.
And the second part of Lisa's question is, being confirmed in Christ a real thing? And I think she may be asking that question because for a lot of young people, confirmation is like Catholic graduation. You know, got my driver's license, went to the prom, I got confirmed. You know, it's just kind of this rite of passage. And they still end up leaving the church after they go off to college or military and they leave their parents' home. So she's asking, is being confirmed in Christ a real thing?
Yeah, and in fact, this is one of the problems you just started hit on, Ed Deacon, and that is that this check mark is given. And, you know, a lot of priests tell me that after the confirmation, they never see the parents or the confirmed again. It's almost like, okay, we've got all the check marks now. And therefore, they don't come back. And that is the worst thing we can do, because now in confirmation, you're a soldier of Christ. You're now an adult in the faith. You are now mature, spiritually mature, and to whom much is given, much is expected. So after confirmation, you've been given the activation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of expectations that we're going to go out and bear fruit. Even if somebody's mentally handicapped, they can do it in the way they trust and love unconditionally. For the rest of us, like Deacon Harold and myself, it's out preaching and teaching and healing and giving them teaching and preaching of the message of God. For the rest of you, it is just being faithful to your state in life. For a mother, a husband, a good parent, just being faithful to going to work, you know, getting the groceries, making the dinner, feeding the family, helping with the homework. Well, Father, where's all the time for me to go out and preach and teach? No, just by being faithful to your state in life, you are giving praise and glory to God, and you're bearing fruit, the fruit that comes from the confirmation.
Yes, amen. Love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Father Chris Aylar, the Provincial Superior for the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. We're talking about his great new book, Understanding the Sacraments, God's Grace Guaranteed. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. If you have any questions about the sacraments or even how to get a hold of this book, give us a call. Would love to hear from you today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we have Matthew, another first-time caller calling from Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Matthew, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. Great to hear from you today, Matthew.
Yeah, I can't believe I got through. I didn't think I would.
I'm glad you're here. What's your question for Father Aylar?
First of all, I just want to say thank you to you guys, both of you guys. It's been impactful in my spiritual life and growth. But the thing that I wanted to inquire about is, what could you, Father Aylar, give me to encourage or to kind of share with altar servers? Or even if you can provide me with, I don't know, something, a tidbit fact about altar servers. I help at St. Joseph's in Arlington, Texas. And I help with altar servers. And it's a great program. It's led by a great person. He knows a lot, but I think it'd be cool to be like, hey, I talked to Father Aylar, and he said this.
Yeah, no, it's a great calling. And, you know, altar serving is not just for young boys. Do you know who served regular all the way till he died in the Mass? Was Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Green Bay Packers. So even on game day, here's the coach of the world champion Green Bay Packers would go in the very early morning and serve at the Mass at the Catholic Church. It really is a rewarding experience, and a lot of vocations come from being at the altar. Now, this is why many priests have encouraged boys to be the altar servers, not because we are sexist or that we're trying to deny women, but the true realization within the church is that while men and women are equal, they have different roles. There are differences in the roles even that God calls us to. And, you know, the females are called to beautiful vocations like a cloistered nun. You can't get higher calling than a cloistered nun. It's a beautiful vocation. But altar serving is a special call for boys and even young men to be able to find if there maybe is a call to the priesthood while being at the altar. You know, you might say, well, Father, I'm older now or whatnot, but, you know, we just ordained a man a couple years ago in my community who was 69 years old. 69 years old, and he was ordained to the priesthood. He went to seminary. He lived in the dorms. He did his homework. He went to class. It really was inspiring. And so, while I'm not necessarily saying that you may have a call to the priesthood, altar serving gives you a perspective of being at the altar, like Deacon Harold is with us as deacon. It gives a perspective of what's going on. Because remember, what goes on that object is both, it's a table and a cross. It's a table for a meal, which is what one part of the aspect of it is, but it's also a cross for sacrifice. And remember, you can't have worship without sacrifice. And so as an altar server, you get to be right there for the actual sacrifice. And that's the beautiful thing. Our non-Catholic brethren, you know, they talk about praise and worship. There is no such thing. It's praise and singing. It's praise and you know, it's beautiful. But once sacrifice is removed, it's not true worship. And that's why the Mass, I said, and in fact, God bless you being on Guadalupe Radio Network. Father, Deacon Harold and I were just down there this past weekend. You know, the Mass is God offering God to God, God the Holy Spirit offering God the Son in sacrifice to God the Father. And when you are an altar server, you're there at that table, which has now become an altar, which is a cross of sacrifice. So praise be to God and cherish those moments that you're able to be so close to the sacrifice that saved the world.
Is that helpful for you, Matthew?
No, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Are you still there?
All right, awesome. Great to have you with us today. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We're talking with Father Christ Alar, the Provincial Superior of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, an EWTN television host as well. His very popular show, Living Divine Mercy, that airs Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's talking about his awesome new book, Understanding the Sacraments, God's Grace Guaranteed. Father, how we want to make sure that people are able to get this book. What's the best way for them to get a hold of this awesome book?
There's three places, whichever one you are listening that you are used to ordering from. If it's from the Marian Fathers, you can get this book on shopmercy.org. So one word, shopmercy.org. Then right here at EWTN, you can get it on the religious catalog. So EWTNRC.com. And so that's EWTNRC for religiouscatalog.com. And then if you're like me and sometimes lazy to fill out all your address and payment information, but you have it on Amazon already stored, yes, you can also get this on Amazon. Not as much come to us to fund our ministry, but you know what? It's more important that you get the book. So if Amazon is the way for you to do that, it's available there too.
All right. Wonderful. So great having you on today, Father Aylar. Thank you, and we'll have to have you on another time to talk about another amazing topic. And we want to encourage all you young men that may be thinking about a vocation to consider the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. And tomorrow is Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking over God's words for the 17th Sunday Ordinary Time, Year C. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtn.com/radio. Father Aylar, before we sign off, could you give us your blessing, please?
Yes, Heavenly Father, we ask you send the Holy Spirit down upon this network, EWTN Radio, and all the listeners, that they may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and live out divine mercy. And we bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.